It's decision time for Greece, and this time we really mean it.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. European finance ministers are meeting in Brussels today. They're expected to finally approve a new bailout loan package for Greece. The price tag, $170 billion. For more, we go live now to Stephen Beard. Good morning.
Hello, Adrienne.
So is this bailout deal finally going to happen? We've been flirting with this for weeks now.
Well, as you say, given all the previous false dawns, I'm reluctant to say this is it. But the French finance minister says there should be a deal today. It does look as if the EU and the IMF will now approve the loan package for Greece so it can stave off a possible default in March.
So this is it. Ta-da! Wipe our hands. This is the end of Greece's debt crisis at long last?
No. If the deal is approved today, the Greeks will get enough cash to tide them over till the end of March. But there could be further trouble after that. The Greek government has had to agree to some very painful budget cuts for this. Cuts in pensions, cuts in public sector jobs. 150,000 jobs are going to have to go. These are extremely unpopular in Greece. And as Georg Grodzki of Legal and General Investment points out, there's a general election in Greece in April.
In a few weeks' time, we may have a completely new government in Greece. Certainly, we will have a new parliament. And right now, very far right and far left-wing parties are gaining strength, and they would probably revoke any agreement.
And with that in mind, the EU and the IMF are said to be insisting that the bailout money is paid into an escrow account and only released in dribs and drabs. So the Greek debt crisis may now cross a dangerous hurdle in March, but it certainly isn't over.
So you and I will be talking a lot.
I'm afraid so.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Adrienne.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly up today. As Stephen just mentioned, the expectations that a Greece deal will get done have pushed European markets higher. Oil prices have also jumped. They're at a nearly nine-month high after Iran cut exports to Britain and France. We've also got word that Japan logged a record trade deficit in January. Exports fell more than 9%. Markets here in the U.S. are closed today. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow rose 45 points to close at 12,949.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Healthcare is changing fast, and medical school is no exception. The group that runs the Medical College Admissions Test, or MCAT, is rolling out a new exam in 2015. The test will still test hard science skills, but the new exam will also ask wannabe doctors about the softer side of medicine. Marketplace's Sally Herships explains.
Math skills? Great. Biochemistry? Fantastic. But hey, doc, how about some people skills? Dr. Lee Goldman is dean of Columbia University's medical school.
Medicine is not just about finding the people who can memorize the most facts. It's about finding people who can help patients and people the most.
Which is why the Association of American Medical Colleges will add a new section on social and behavioral sciences to the MCAT. Dr. Ronald Franks is chair of the committee that recommended the changes. As the population becomes more diverse, it's important for physicians to be culturally sensitive. Some patients may need a treatment which involves their family or accommodates their religion.
There's no sense writing a prescription for someone if they don't follow through and get the prescription filled because it doesn't fit with their beliefs on how their disease should be addressed.
The new test will take 6.5 hours, 2 hours longer than now. But Columbia's Dr. Goldman says there are some skills no written exam can test for. That's why most medical schools require an interview. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Ohio is betting big on casinos. The state is opening up gambling later this year in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus, and Toledo. And Ohio is joining a long list of states who've turned to gambling as a way to attract tourists and raise money. From WCPN in Cleveland, Brian Bull reports.
The Horseshoe Casino in Cleveland is one of four being built in Ohio. They're expected to bring in hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. Last month, part of the Horseshoe's parking garage collapsed under wet concrete. But Chris Warren has a lucky feeling about the casino. He's the city's chief of regional development.
It's fair to say that on an annual basis that there will be millions of dollars of new property income and parking taxes flowing to the city of Cleveland. That's good.
Warren says up to 15 million people a year will visit the Horseshoe. He expects annual revenues up to $30 million. Marcus Glover is the casino's general manager. He says local businesses and attractions will cash in too.
We'll spend a lot of time positioning the property of Horseshoe Cleveland. You know, it's come to Cleveland and go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Come to Cleveland, go to Playhouse Square. And oh, while you're here, we hope you pay us a visit.
But critics say casinos can shortchange communities. Professor John Kent of the University of Illinois Champaign researches casino development. He is concerned by the Horseshoe Casino's 20,000 slot machines. He says each one will take in at least $100,000 a year.
That's money that's not going to buy cars, refrigerators, computers, and even food and clothing.
Meanwhile, critics say that as more and more states build casinos, their purported benefits to tourism may no longer stay on the table, as locals, not out-of-state visitors, will become the primary players. In Cleveland, I'm Brian Bull for Marketplace.
And finally, a dog with a credit offer most of us can only dream of. According to the Sarnia Observer, an Ontario dog named Spark was offered up to $30,000 in credit from Capital One. And Spark the dog has been dead for a decade. The owner tells the paper that if the dog was alive and had the card, she would have bought a hula hoop, which would still leave her a credit limit of $29,996, give or take. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.